Hey, what's up? This is Josh, JustUsGeeks.com. This is episode 276 of the podcast and another road trip review. James is here, and so is Emily. She's our first guest on Road Trip Review.
Hello.
She's actually the only other person to do one with me and James, since we can never convince the other two to go with us anywhere. So today's Road Trip Review is Spider-Man Homecoming. And we're going to go see it in 3D.
I was going to say, we're posting this late, too, because I know I saw one person say no spoilers for it.
Right, right.
Because they were going to go this weekend, so...
And I have successfully avoided spoilers for this myself.
Oh, so have I. Like, I don't know anything about it, and Logan has threatened us with spoilers, but
we have threatened Logan.
We've threatened to block him from the groups. Yeah.
Like, Logan, we will remove you from life if you ruin this movie for us.
He went to a Thursday night preview showing of it. And we are checking out a Sunday, I wouldn't call it a matinee, but no, it's not exactly an evening show either.
No, not quite. Emily, do you like Spider-Man?
I do. I like Spider-Man.
Really? What's your favorite Spider-Man movie?
I like the first.
You like the Sam Raimi movies?
Yes.
Do you like Spider-Man 3?
No.
Only Dan does.
Only Dan.
I like Spider-Man 3. As a matter of fact, I've recently watched the editor's cut of Spider-Man 3.
Hopefully it's better than
it's
the original.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. I was okay with Andrew Garfield, but I really did like Tom Holland in
Civil War. A little bit. Yeah, I mean, I went back and rewatched his segments last night in preparation for this on my PlayStation VR.
Right.
Because I just wanted to see what it was like, and watching a 3D movie on VR for PlayStation, it was pretty good. But yeah, just getting his scenes back into my mind. He did a really good job. I think that we're going to enjoy the movie tonight.
A full Tom Holland's
2 hours and 15 minutes of Spider-Man.
And Tony Stark.
Yeah. And walking by and having checked in on it, Happy Hogan, I do believe, is in it.
Really?
Yeah, you know, what's his name? The director.
Jon Favreau.
Favreau. He was Happy Hogan in the original Spider-Man trilogy. We haven't seen him since, Iron Man. We haven't seen him since Iron Man 3, and I do believe he is in this movie.
I love Favreau. I pretty much love anything Favreau does, so...
Yeah.
Yeah, he took a big gamble with Iron Man, paid off, and now we are watching...
10 years. This is our 9th year. Next year is the 10th year of Marvel movies.
We're watching good stuff because of it, so thank you, Jon Favreau.
Yeah, Fav.
So, we opted not to do this one in 3D IMAX. Wasn't shot in IMAX.
Wasn't shot for IMAX, so we decided to come up to our favorite little theater up north.
And watch in 3D. I'm looking forward to the 3D.
Oh, I am too.
I think it's going to be great. I like the real D. It's pretty nice.
The Sony Spider-Man Homecoming VR experience on PlayStation is a lot of fun. It's only about 10 minutes long. Very short. But I'm talking like you get the vertigo, something fierce, because you're on a rooftop, you know, doing your training.
Mm-hmm.
You see an explosion happen, and you shoot up to a crane, and you're standing on the ledge of the crane, and anywhere you look is down. So it's you. Oh man.
No, thank you.
It's awesome, but oh my god, like I was getting like weak in the knees.
It's just because Spider-Man's so awesome.
Yeah.
And the dizziness. Better than Spider-Man 2, you think?
That is the heavily debated thing on the internet. People are saying whether or not it's better than Raimi's Spider-Man 2. That is the one to beat.
Yeah.
It is the best one out of the ones that I've seen so far.
It really is. It really is.
I've seen
a lot of people say it's better than Spider-Man 2, but I'm not answering the phone for Ronnie McNutt.
Hey, Ronnie, if you're listening, we're ignoring your call.
Thanks for listening, idiot. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, yeah, thank you. No, I don't think it's going to be better than Spider-Man 2. So, I am interested to see what it is, but I don't think it's going to be better than Spider-Man 2. And I may have been wrong about the no kids in this movie, because there are a bunch of idiots here already. All right, so we're going to go watch Spider-Man Homecoming, and we'll see you when we're done.
Yep.
Bye-bye. So we're back. We just watched Spider-Man Homecoming. And
spoiler alert.
Yeah, big old spoiler alert. So if you have not seen it, we cannot let you watch any far. We cannot let you listen any farther, seriously. If you give a crap at all about this movie,
you've probably
stop
already gone
listening.
And seen it. You've probably already gone and seen
you,
it.
You probably have if you're listening to us right now. So I'm just going to keep drinking my ginger ale from the Burger King.
Yeah, this is the only thing that was open.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there are other things open up here.
It's just fast food that's open.
Yeah.
And it was right by the theater. So,
since we got time, we'll just say that before we actually went and watched Spider-Man, we played some disc golf.
Oh, played 18 holes.
Oh, my God. It was so freaking fantastic. It's been a while since we've done that. That was great.
Whoa.
What?
Nip.
Oh. Take a picture of it with your phone.
Oh my God, where's my
Emily,
phone?
Emily,
where's my phone?
Emily, you got it? Well, I'm not leaving until somebody gets a good photo of it. Oh my God.
It's too much light.
Oh, adjust it.
I got it.
You got it? Okay. Got it.
Okay. Share that with us.
I will.
Well, McDonald's, you're offensive, and I bet they don't know that that's that way. All right, anyway, so went and played some disc golf. Super great. Have not done that in a while. And yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun.
Great disc golf course up here in the place where we watch the movies, and yeah, good times.
That's not our hometown.
No, it's not. At some point we'll bring other geeks along with us and maybe they'll play disc golf too.
It kind of seems like this is our segment.
Yeah, so those two idiots can come up with their own thing to do. Most of you are not idiots. There's only two of you. One of you decide which one's the idiot and take one for the team.
Yeah. Well, one of them was doing something with his family.
And the other one was Logan. So. but I will say, major props to Logan for not spoiling this movie for us.
Yeah.
Because I would have had to have murdered him.
Yeah, probably would have.
I really think I would have murdered him had he spoiled this movie for us. So, Winsaw 3D. Totally worth the 3D, I think.
I think so, too.
Yes, lean up here so we can hear you, lady.
I think so, too, and I hate 3D.
Did you like the... Oh, fireworks. More fireworks. Did you like the... That style of 3D? That 2D, like the real D, so you could, like, turn your head and it didn't, you know, like, didn't
yes.
move?
Yes.
See, I told you that. I thought that you would like that. That'd be okay.
Our 3D, when we used to do it, doesn't do that.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's what...
IMAX 3D is the only one that does, like, because it's so big and, you know, you're so close to it.
Right.
That any just awkward movement of your head, you just lose the 3D image.
Yeah. I thought the 3D was good. Very, you know, like, a great use of 3D.
Oh, yeah.
Would have been a waste to go see it in IMAX 3D, though.
No, it was, like, at the very end, it says it was formatted for IMAX, but it's not shot in IMAX, so all they did, really, is they just... blow it up, and you lose a little resolution actually when you do that.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't do that. I mean, it totally didn't need it.
No.
I thought this 3D was...
I think we talked about it earlier. The next one that we go see in a large format is going to be Dunkirk.
Yes.
Because that was shot with IMAX and 70mm, so...
Which is just freaking insane. Christopher Nolan is amazing, so...
Well, he also is one of the few people who still demands to shoot on film, and
right.
It's getting kind of old, and a lot of people are getting mad at him. Especially a lot of theater companies, because he'll give the 70mm film prints to theaters, like, a week early. Like, they get it a week early.
Oh.
And, like, he did that with Interstellar. If you could run film, like, if you could run 35mm film, you could get the movie early.
Wow.
And we, seriously, for our company, we thought about doing it, but I told my boss, he's like, what do you think? I said, well, you need to pick a location, and that's where I got to go work that weekend, because I can't be at every theater at once.
No.
I'm fairly certain in my district, I'm the only person that remembers how to run film.
Yeah.
And that's not even a part of my job anymore, is to run a film, but I still remember how to do it.
So those, that's a thing to go see in a large format. This you didn't need to. So if you can see it in 3D,
go see it in 3D.
Go see it in 3D. So, like, if you're listening now and you didn't see it in 3D, you saw it in 2D, but you kind of thought maybe the 3D would be great, highly encourage you to see it in 3D. Highly encourage you to see it in 3D.
People might be saying, well, you guys always say go see it in 3D. Well, we did not recommend the 3D for Rogue One.
No. God, no.
Or Suicide Squad. No. We didn't recommend the 3D for it either.
No. Totally pointless. It really was totally pointless. Well, it still bums me out about Rogue One.
The thing about DC movies, though, is that they're always in the dark, so
yeah,
it doesn't help your 3D at all.
I will say the only place it got hairy for me in the 3D was the fight with Vulture and Spider-Man.
The big one at the end?
Where the plane's going down. Only because of the lights on the plane. Like, yeah.
It got, that was kind of
headache. Yeah, it got kind of wonky
there. That would probably induce a seizure in my wife. I'm glad she did not come see it.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to follow, but that, honestly,
it didn't last long.
No, like, and that's like my only complaint. Okay, so number one, props to all you people who have seen this movie and have not spoiled it for anyone, because you the real MVPs.
Yeah, we're about to spoil it for everybody.
Yeah, and that's fine, because we just want to talk about it. I gotta say, maybe the best Spider-Man movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a very, very, very well-made Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Tom Holland is a fantastic Spider-Man.
He is freaking Spider-Man.
He's the right age.
He's the right Peter Parker, and he's the right Spider-Man.
And I like the fact that Donald Glover got to be in a Spider-Man movie, because he's been wanting to do it for years, was not able to. Now he's too old to be Miles Morales, but he's not too old to be Miles Morales' uncle.
Who he clearly is. Yo, my nephew live in this neighborhood. Question one, was Donald Glover high in this movie? Because I think he was.
I don't know. That's kind of how he always looks.
So, yes, the answer is
he's probably always high then.
Yeah. The answer is yes. That was totally unexpected for me. I didn't even, like...
I knew he was in it.
Didn't even know he was in this movie.
I knew he was in it. That got leaked out a couple of weeks ago. Somebody was like, oh, yeah, Donald Glover's in the movie. And I was like, all right. But then, and they were like, oh, it's really cool who he is. And I figured it out from that, because I was like, well, he's too old to be Miles Morales.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's got to be his uncle.
It was a really nice touch. Really nice touch. This partnership with Sony and Marvel works really well. Yep. Like, you know, we were having the discussion before the movie, are they going to use the real Marvel logo? They use the real Marvel logo. Yeah. They want people to know it's part of the actual cinematic universe.
Well, yeah, because, well, it tricks you, because they give you the Sony logo and then the movie just starts.
Yeah.
And there's like 8 minutes of movie.
And then,
and
boom.
And then they do with the Avenger movies, where they give you the, like, they give you like a opening 10 or 15 minutes of movie and then they hit you with a logo. And I was like, oh.
Nice.
Oh, this is a legitimate MCU movie.
Yeah. It's interwoven in everything they do.
Oh, big time. I mean, it starts literally right after the very first Avengers movie ends.
Well, and, like, I love that they showed us how he got to where he was in Civil War. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's very big open, like, the...
Yeah.
Wasn't it? Or was that later?
No, that was the opener.
That was
like,
the
that's
opener.
How
yeah,
they
yeah,
opened
yeah.
the movie.
Yeah, because it says a film by Peter Parker, yeah.
Yeah. I love it. Like, that's all you need to know. We don't need another origin story. Dude. We don't need, you know... Like,
well, and they give you hints of it here and there in the movie. He was like, when he's talking to his buddy Ned, who was hilarious.
Who was the best man
like
behind
the
screen of
guy,
all time.
Guy in the chair.
Yeah.
Like what he calls himself.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
But he was awesome, and he was like... And so you get little snippets of their conversation where... Peter's telling him that, you know, he got bit by a spider, and Ned's like, I probably wouldn't let the spider bite me. Well, then again, maybe I might. And he's like, it doesn't matter, the spider's dead.
Yeah. It was like a little snippet of a story. We don't have to spend 5 minutes on it. You know, it's a boom. Obviously, he's Spider-Man.
Yeah, he's been.
And has been Spider-Man.
For, I think, like, he had been doing it for a couple months before Civil War. And then I think it's 2 months, like when the actual movie, the main part of the movie starts, it's 2 months after Civil War.
Something like that.
It's two months later. So, you know, we kind of know about where we're at in the timeline. And if you want a legitimate timeline, Marvel has released one.
Yes. And, which is awesome.
Oh, the one that they talk about, though, that the director, John Watts, was talking about, he said that Marvel has a scroll that is a conference table's length. And they, like, he walked in, and they were talking about the story and everything, and they unrolled this scroll and said, you can fit in right here. They've got this entire timeline. Whoa. The whole thing is planned.
Whoa.
He was just like, it was the most impressive thing he had ever seen. They just had this like a group of people who work on the timeline scroll. Is their job is to make sure everything stays in continuity.
Meanwhile, Zack Snyder is looking for story pieces on napkins in his pocket.
Yeah.
Come on, DC. You got to do better than that.
Hey, come on. Wonder Woman was good.
Yeah, Wonder Woman was. And it wasn't in the timeline, was it? Sort of. Yeah. Kind of. At the end.
Yeah.
Anyway, man, like, this was a Spider-Man movie. To me, this was the Spider-Man movie I've always wanted.
It was so much fun. It had the comedy that you want from a Spider-Man movie. It was very lighthearted. But not.
In places.
Yeah. The villain twist at the end.
We'll get there, but holy God, was it not? That may be like one of the best twists I've ever seen. Definitely the best twist in a superhero movie, bar none. The best twist.
The
absolute best twist.
Okay, so we're starting at the beginning.
You got
Peter Parker. It shows how he gets to Germany, and it shows clips from Civil War, and shows him coming back, and then it jumps. It goes 8 years earlier, and that takes place right after the first Avengers movie, and they're doing cleanup.
And they They do that, like, they keep showing this aspect in all these movies, which I think is interesting. Like, that they want you to know there is a cost to this.
Yeah.
But they flip it back around in this film and say, hey, guess who's reaping the rewards of that cost?
Yeah, like
Tony friggin' Stark.
Tony Stark causes the destruction and then gets paid to go clean it up.
Yeah.
By the government. And that makes I can't even think of his real name. It's like
Tombs.
Tombs, yeah. Tombs gets mad because he had borrowed a lot of money and brought in extra help for this job. And then the government basically came in and told them, yeah, you're fired, we're taking over.
Yeah.
So they already had a truckload from the day before, and like lazy guys, they're like, well, I'm not hauling it over there to them. And they just start building stuff with it.
Out of this alien...
It's the alien tech.
It's a Chitauri tech.
The Chitauri energy stuff. And they can make explosives, they can make...
Super weapons.
It's,
yeah.
Like energy stuff, so they can like power things, like whatever that their tech guy can come up with, they can power it.
And it's like that aspect was pretty friggin' neat. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't expecting that to be part of the plot, you know, because Vulture is, I think he's one of the most interesting villains that Spider-Man faces ever, because he's done so many different ways.
Oh, absolutely.
But this was the absolute perfect way,
right? Yeah,
to do Vulture.
Like I'd never, you'd never even think that they were going to do Vulture this way from the trailer.
No. I mean, obviously, he wasn't like a Vulture Man hybrid.
All right,
but man, he was like. I think Marvel may have solved their villain problem.
Well, they didn't kill him off. Like, spoiler alert, Vulture doesn't die.
No.
And the big problem I've had with Marvel is that you get a great villain and they kill him off in the origin story movie. And it happens in just about every one of them. They've killed off the villains.
But
this time they didn't.
And
he's in jail and still alive.
They didn't kill off, who did they not kill in Well, Doctor Strange is a little bit different.
Yeah, that's, they reverse
time. But, like, I feel like they're sort of fixing their villain problem. Like, I think they realize, well, you know, we can't one and done you and then just expect you to buy the fact that Thanos sticks around for two movies. You know, yeah. Like, I don't know. It seems like they're fixing their problem.
And Thanos can bring any villain he wants back to life.
Yeah, so it doesn't matter.
So, I mean, we could get some of these other villains brought back.
It's probably where we're going to get Red Skull back from, to be really honest.
I hope so. Oh, I loved Hugo Weaving as Red Skull. He was so great. And then, you know, it's just one and done. You never saw him again.
Yeah.
And Red Skull's like a big-time villain for
one of the biggest Marvel villains. He is a repeat offender. But yeah, so spoiler alert, Vulture's not dead. And that's part of the whole thing. All right, so a lot of this movie is Peter Parker figuring out, you know, he gets his new suit from Tony Stark. He's trying to figure out how to make it all work, how he fits in.
He has a nanny named Happy Hogan. I'm so happy that Happy Hogan is back.
Jon Favreau, you're the man. If for some reason Jon Favreau ever listens to this.
He's not.
I know he won't, but my God, if he ever does, I would love to hug you, son, because you're just the friggin' best. Oh, man. I love Happy. It's such a great character.
I haven't seen him since Iron Man 3.
No, this felt like... part of this movie felt a little bit Iron Man heavy, but it was not too heavy.
Yeah, I was going to say, the trailer made it look like Iron Man... It was going to be Iron Man 4.
Yes, yes.
And it wasn't. It was very much a Spider-Man movie, but Iron Man just happened to show up a few times.
Yeah.
And when he did show up, it was awesome.
Yes, it was. when he actually shows up at the end to take the suit away, it was like, well, you done messed up now, boy. Yeah. The thing that I like about this is here's this kid. He gets a suit. He feels like he's not being trusted enough. He feels more powerful than he actually is because he can't control himself.
Head.
He does. He's got a big head because he came in, he took Cap's shield and Avengers, blah, 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 blah. And now Civil War. Now he wants to go. Like, he wants to fight. He wants to do more, right? We all understand that. And
he wants to help.
Stark was that exact same way. So he's, you know, giving him baby steps. He's regulating the suit.
The training wheels protocol. I've seen a trailer where they talk about the training wheels protocol. And it basically keeps him from being able to use the suit to the full potential.
Right. I mean, his suit is full Stark tech.
Friday is in the suit.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get to access Friday until chair guy, the guy in the chair, you know, Ned, takes the training wheels protocol off.
Yeah. Like, they hack the suit and they're able to take all that off. That, I think, is really interesting. Like,
who's having a fit?
Yeah. Don't look at it, Emily. What?
That is really weird. Why is it doing that?
I don't know. We've seen some weird stuff tonight. We're just going to keep going. I don't know. Like, I like the whole... I love the fact that Tony Stark sees himself in Parker.
Right. And he says it repeatedly. He's trying to be, you know, different than his father. He's trying to break the sins of the father. Because Tony doesn't have any kids, and so he's trying
to... And Peter doesn't have a dad.
Peter doesn't have a dad. And so he is... At one point, he calls him to tell him congratulations, good job, or whatever. And then he has to scold him, take away the suit.
Because he splits the New York Staten Island ferry in half. Totally on accident. Not his fault. No. But, and even that was like, that's classic Peter Parker.
Yeah.
You know, like, here's this kid, he's trying to do good, and something just goes wrong. Like, it's Peter Parker figuring out how to be Spider-Man, and... it seems like he has to learn the hard way. For every person you save, there's a potential to, you know, muck up one other way.
Yep.
It's really, really, really well done. I mean, really freaking well done. Like, a lot of the life parallels, they sort of reveal on you in this movie. It's just so freaking well done. They did an excellent job of telling the story, giving you great visuals, and... You know, really leaning heavy on the MCU and the Spider-Man universe.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, lots of little Easter eggs in there for people who like Spider-Man. It's really freaking well done. For me, the suit was amazing.
Oh, the suit was awesome.
Like, finally we get a Spider-Man suit that...
Well, we have three suits in this movie.
Right.
There is the one that he had hidden, the
one he made.
The homemade Spider-Man suit that you saw. You never see him wear it in Civil War, but you saw it.
Yeah.
And then we have the suit that that Tony made him that's got all the tech in it. And at the very end, Tony offers up another suit if he wants to join,
the Avengers.
And he turns it down, and it looked like a massive upgrade.
Yeah, I want to know what that suit does. I bet we find out in Infinity War.
You got to think he's going to get it in Infinity War or get an Iron Spider suit.
Yeah, that's
which he was supposed to have had, because the Iron Spider suit comes in Civil War in the comic books.
Yeah.
So
he's going to get it in.
He's got to get it eventually.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, everything about this just... They nailed it. They nailed Spider-Man. They nailed Peter Parker. Oh, my gosh. Like, I know that this wasn't a Disney Marvel film.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you let Marvel and Kevin Feige come in and say, hey, let us fix your Spider-Man problem.
Yeah.
If we can use him when we need to.
Yes. And that's exactly what they did. You know, other folks need to, like, Warner Brothers, other folks need to take lessons from this.
Well,
like,
Warner Brothers needs to listen to Geoff Johns, who is their executive producer on everything from Wonder Woman forward. Geoff Johns is one of the best writers of DC Comics, and he is supposed to be the overseer, but for the first couple movies, like, he works for Warner Brothers, for DC, but it didn't seem like they wanted to listen to anything he said. I've heard interviews with him, and they said that with Wonder Woman would be the first time they actually listened to him.
Uh-huh.
And look how good Wonder Woman turned out to be.
Yeah, they need to listen.
So I think that they should listen to Geoff Johns more, but that's for DC.
Yeah.
I mean, Sony obviously did the right thing and listened to what Kevin Feige had to say, and they
reap
got
the benefits.
They've got a very well-made Spider-Man movie.
And the potential for a lot more. I mean, a whole lot more.
Yes.
Emily, what did you like about this movie?
I don't know. I haven't read the comics, so I think it was just a good movie. They got the whole teen angst thing really well down. Like, the little
You're going through
story,
that right now.
That was really good. That was all really realistic, and it tied in really well. And
it really fits his character. Like, yeah. they made...
I'm so glad Spider-Man's in high school.
Yes.
And not, like, graduating in the opening 10 minutes of it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just glad that he's in high school.
He's not an adult.
He's not 30 trying to play 18.
No.
It's literally a 16-year-old kid playing him.
And he's
who does a lot
it.
Of his own stunts. Holland is a gymnast.
He's killing it. He's killing it. I mean, that was a lot of the greatness of this for me. It was just like how he connects with this character in a way that only a kid really could, you know. And obviously Robert Downey Jr. enjoys it.
Yeah.
You know, obviously
like just working with him in Civil War when they started talking about Homecoming, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't even supposed to be in this movie. But he had so much fun working with them. Like, he was like, hey, if you need anything, like, for Spider-Man, let me know, you know, if I can show up and help out. And they were like, yeah, we'll write you in there.
Yeah, we'll write you in a lot of there. Oh, so well done. Is there anything that didn't work for you?
No, I think the whole movie just worked.
Yeah,
it clicked. Like, I'm a huge Spider-Man fan, and I dug everything about the movie.
Well, when he was on that airplane, he would have frozen.
Well,
he also wouldn't
have been able to breathe.
Yes,
so
that was my only gripe, is that he couldn't have hung on the outside of that airplane for as long as he did. But, you know, he's also
Spider-Man.
Well, I was reading an interview that they were talking about Tom Holland and how enthusiastic he is about the character. He can't keep his mouth shut. Like, he's so enthusiastic about playing Spider-Man that anybody who's ready to listen to him, he'll tell him everything that he knows.
Oh.
And, like, he was the one who who broke the story that it was going to be a trilogy of Spider-Man movies. And it got so bad that when he went to film Infinity War, they won't tell him, they didn't give him a full script.
Oh.
And they won't, like, he did an interview, he was talking about he was fighting something, but it was CG. They wouldn't tell him what it is. They were just telling him what to do. So he was fine. They're like, now grunt. It just hits you really hard.
Oh, that's probably
because they wouldn't tell him who he was fighting. Because they don't want him to spoil it.
He totally would. Oh, that's sad.
He's a poor kid. He's just excited to be Spider-Man.
I'm excited that he is Spider-Man. Oh, man. Yeah, that, to me, I was like, he'd have trouble breathing up there, but, but he's Spider-Man.
It's Spider-Man.
And see, that's the thing, like, okay, Vulture needed the helmet to breathe because he's a human.
Well, and they had the vacuum lock
for
the suit. Like, they talk about the vacuum airlock the entire movie, and then at the very end, you get to see, oh, okay, I get it.
Yeah, so Tony also needs the suit to breathe because he's just Tony Stark.
Just a billionaire.
But this kid's actually Spider-Man. So, for me, I'll say one of the best moments of the movie was where he had to come to the realization that it's the thought that Tony gave him was like, hey, if you need the suit, you aren't Spider-Man. You're not ready for this. And he had to literally climb out of the rubble and be like, well, time to go kick some ass. It was awesome. That was one of the best parts of the movie for me. Probably the best part of this movie was Michael freaking Keaton.
He was fabulous.
Michael Keaton is amazing at everything he does. Like, literally amazing at everything he does. Holy crap. He was awesome. And the twist, never saw it coming.
Oh, yeah.
Not once did I see that coming. I'm still kind of...
Yeah, like when
I'm still kind of blown away by that.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, spoiler alert. Alright, 3, 2, 1. Okay, Michael Keaton.
Through the whole movie, Spider-Man is after Peter Parker is after this one chick, right?
Yes.
He loves her and she has this thing for Spider-Man and he saves her.
He saves her from dying.
He saved her from dying, and it's this whole big thing. And then at the very end of the movie, he asked her to the homecoming dance, and he goes to her house, and
Michael Keaton is her father.
Yup.
The Vulture is her dad. After they have gone round after round a couple of times,
I think they've had 3 meetups at this point.
Vulture probably should have killed him, but he's not like he.
Well, he's not
really he's not really that kind of villain, though. Like, we only see him kill one person,
and it was by
totally
accident.
By accident.
Because he was like, oh, I thought that was the anti-gravity gun.
Nope, that's over there.
No, that's the disintegrator gun.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. So now you're the shocker. Yeah. Like, so that's not really the kind of villain he is, but, like, he probably should have killed him, and then... Holy crap, you're my date's dad.
Yeah, and you're going to drive us to the homecoming dance.
And he doesn't have his suit. You know, Tony has basically stripped him away from all this. And they've basically said, kid, we don't need your help. And it's in that moment that he becomes Spider-Man. It really is. Yeah. Like, he learns in those moments that... He can't be one or the other. He has to be Spider-Man. He's not going to be able to be Peter Parker. He's got to be Spider-Man.
Yeah, which is the constant struggle that Spider-Man Peter
always
Parker
has.
Always has. He's trying to lead the dual life. He wants to have the girl, but
he
also
has
the
family.
The need to save the city, and so
and he can't
have both, so he always picks Spider-Man.
Always. And
there are times that he's thrown the suit away, but it always comes right back to him.
I mean, you want to talk about an origin story? That's how you do an origin story. Like, this wasn't your atypical origin story. This is like, okay, you're familiar with this character, but let's show you why he's Spider-Man. Not necessarily how he becomes Spider-Man, but this is why he's Spider-Man. This is why he's going to do everything he does from leading the Avengers to whatever they have him do at some point. Yeah. I mean, it's what an incredibly awesome way to establish him. Oh my God, I did not even see that coming at all.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some, I could probably see, you know, some foreshadowing there maybe if we went back and watched it again.
Yeah. But. Well, that's what somebody said, that after you watch the movie and you, the credits are done rolling, they're like, you're going to want to go back and watch it again just to pick up on the stuff you've missed.
Yeah. Well, that's the sign of a good film.
I love the last line where they cut it off. They almost had an F-bomb in a Marvel Universe movie. Aunt May just, what the f-? And then it just cuts.
Yeah, because she comes in
she
and
catches
he's,
him in the suit.
Because Tony gives him his suit back after he turns down the ultimate Spider-Man suit.
Yeah.
I'll say this. I really liked Tobey Maguire, and I actually really liked Andrew Garfield.
Yeah, they were both fun. Like, I had nothing against them being Peter Parker
but
Spider-Man.
They didn't have Marvel behind them.
No, and you could tell those movies don't have Marvel behind them.
Yeah.
Like, they always seem to have been missing something.
Yeah. Like, this still had the camp.
Minus, like, Spider-Man 2, Raimi's Spider-Man 2 was a near-perfect comic book movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. It had the heart. It just, you just always kind of wanted Spider-Man, though, to be with Marvel. And that was even before Marvel had their own studio.
Yeah.
But it just didn't seem right that somebody else was making it besides just Marvel. I mean, I know that sounds really weird because Marvel wasn't even a studio, but I don't know.
The older
movie just always seemed disjointed.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, they didn't...
Well, and I guess that's because we had multiple universes. Like,
yes.
Fox has their X-Men universe going.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, you know, Sony had their Spider-Man universe going with Sam Raimi movies. And you look at these characters growing up and reading comics, and they're all supposed to be in the same universe.
And it just...
But they just never were because you had competing studios with different properties. And so you would never see, you know, like... Wolverine and Spider-Man meet
ever
up
in the same movie
because they're owned by different people, and
yeah.
So you know, universes like that never felt proper to me.
This is what they need to do with X-Men. They badly need to give it to Marvel,
but they won't because Deadpool did so well for them that they're going to continue doing their own thing.
Yeah, that's true. God, it's sad, but it's true. That's exactly what they'll do. This is how you do a superhero movie, folks. This is how you do it. Like, this is Iron Man good. It really is.
Yeah.
Like, for people who love Spider-Man, it does not get better than this movie. It just doesn't. I mean, Marvel, I think we've had this conversation this week. Marvel really, like, they took a character who was, you know, I mean, I'm not saying Iron Man was anything to, like, turn your nose up at.
Iron Man was a B or C level character.
He was a B level character. He wasn't Spider-Man or Captain America or Wolverine or Cyclops or anything like that.
Well,
he was a...
The majority of the A level characters had already been sold off to make movies to other studios. So they had to do with what they had. They had Iron Man. They were like, we can do something with that, maybe.
Yeah, we can build around this, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I'm an Iron Man guy, but I've always been a Spider-Man guy. And I bet I watched Sam Raimi's Spider-Man 1
I saw it
20
in theaters.
Times.
I saw it in theaters 6 times.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
Because I loved it so much.
Yeah,
I
watched it nightly for about a week and a half.
I was very happy to have Spider-Man on the big screen.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
It was a very good movie.
But this is Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah.
This is Spider-Man.
Like, that movie will get bought and watched at my house.
Repeatedly.
A lot.
Yeah. Whew. All right. So, here's the thing. Go watch this movie if you haven't. More importantly, tell us your thoughts, really, because we don't think we've missed the boat on this. I mean, I feel like you guys probably all feel the same, I guess.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there who has a problem with it, but if you do, tell us. Tell us what your problem is.
Why do you have an issue with the movie?
Yeah, that's what Jughead's Incorporated is for. So go there and let us know your thoughts on Spider-Man Homecoming and where we missed or made the mark. James, what's your jam?
I played disc golf with you guys today.
Man, that was freaking awesome.
It's my jam. That was so much fun.
And we weren't that bad.
No, we really were not that bad.
That was terrible.
No, you weren't
that bad. No.
There was a lot of times you shot better than we did.
Yeah. That's the truth. Sorry if you don't agree. Emily, what's your jam?
I don't know. You say yours.
He goes last.
Well,
that's
my job. I pass on the jam.
Was it disc golf or Spider-Man?
Mine?
Oh, Spider-Man is good. Spider-Man can be my jam.
Well, mine's disc golf and Spider-Man. Because they're both equally great.
Yeah. I'll add Spider-Man into mine as well.
I was going to say, like, coming back from vacation.
Group
but
jam.
This was, like, this took the cake. Oh, my gosh. All right. Let us know where you hit the mark. Let us know if you hate road trip reviews. Too bad if you do, because we're going to keep doing them.
We like doing it.
This is fun. I don't care if you're tired of my voice out of a Tascam or not. This is, I think, the way to go. So
yeah, we're having a lot of fun doing them.
Yeah.
So you can have a lot of fun listening to them or just
not.
Skip them, I guess. I don't know.
We're going to do a lot more of them. So
yeah, next week, I think we're going to go watch War for the Planet of the Apes, are we not?
Yeah, that makes the most sense. Oh my gosh.
We're going to go
to
3D.
Go back there.
Yeah, we're going to go back there.
I have to go.
Okay.
I like that.
All right. Do all the things. Facebook.com/JusticeGeeks. Twitter and Instagram @JusticeGeeks. Jughead's Incorporated, of course. And we'll have to get us a Huddle House Confessions in very soon, sponsored by our friends at Huddle House. So be on the lookout for that. We will see you next week.
Thanks for listening, you idiots.